I was driving, trying to protect the drivers.
Okay, folks, this is Ray Morales and Rich Bergeron.
Yo, Tornado, Serpenta.
And we got Shoney Carter as a special guest tonight at 9:15, and we got a lot of combat sports to talk about between now and then. Of course, Tom, it's on time. Psychic Tom.
Yes, sir.
Psychic Tom, so good he predicted that Germany would win by at least 7 goals the other day. That's what showed.
Isn't that like 6 more goals than they usually scored in a game?
Right. Yeah. Argentina, they barely got there. And penalty games. All that.
I don't know what that country's going to do. I mean, Sergio Martinez got beat, and now the hot soccer team lost. They'll give it up.
We talked last week about Brian Minto and Joseph Parker. That was the big boxing match of the weekend, and Minto quit on stool after the 7th round. So,
What happened? I didn't hear you.
Minto quit on his stool after the 7th round.
Well, I guess the beast got beat.
He had a pretty good jab, according to the article. Let's see what happens next to him. Would you believe that Madonna is being hailed a hero in the boxing community, Tony?
Who is?
Madonna.
Why?
Tommy the Hitman Hearns is saying that she saved a Detroit boxing champion. She went out to Detroit and said she's going to be making significant donations to 3 organizations, and one of them is the downtown youth boxing program. They had 100% graduation rate, and bad thing was the gym's main building was condemned in Detroit, so you can imagine. So Madonna stepped in, and she's going to make all the payments for renovation and all that crap, and let the other continue to go on. So we talked actually last week, I think, about Hearns trying to clean up the blight in Detroit, and he's also remembering his boxing moves, I guess. Madonna! And we got some wrestling news this week. Got a couple other boxing cards to talk about. The big stories are all around the UFC. What do they call it? Red, White, and Fight Week? All kinds of stuff. UFC 175 was over the weekend. Our former guest, Patrick Smith, one of the beat-up fights. Sunday? What? Oh, yes. Looks like somebody's sawing a board.
What?
Sounds like somebody's sawing a board.
Well, I wouldn't call that, but I would call it scratching a lottery ticket.
Oh, scratching a lottery ticket. Yes, it's scratching off.
What?
Oh, no, Tom has to tell us. He's the psychic.
That's it. Just my impression is, don't get too anxious. Don't scratch too hard. It's not that big of a deal. Save your energy.
Well, I didn't win, and that sucks.
That's what, you know, that's a good transition, because that's what BJ Penn said.
I didn't win, that sucks.
BJ had a rough night, and reminded me of, I don't know who suggested that move, standing straight up and down, trying to box like that, and then that defense on the ground this whole fight. Minus this clip from the ultimate fighter.
You might as well put that me in the corner. Somebody else that knows nothing. You might as well put me in your corner. Or somebody else that knows nothing.
Old bald father, Dana White.
That was very painful to watch, BJ, and it was also painful in the post-fight press conference, if you caught any of that. That was a bad ending.
I read about it. I didn't. So, it was a lot to watch. A lot of UFC this weekend. Unbelievable stuff. I watched both cards, about every single fight, I think there were two were on something I didn't know. Ultimate Fighter thing. It was pretty incredible, and biggest fight of the whole weekend was Ronda Rousey, of course. But I think there was one that was a little quicker. Did you see that, Todd?
Yes. And I mentioned to you in the email that apparently Dana was throwing kind of a fit saying, I don't want to hear any complaining if we sign Cyborg. So it looks like reality's setting in and fans are starting to realize that maybe there's only one fight. And even that may, you know, I mean, at the rate Ronda's operating at, maybe even the Cyborg fight won't be competitive. But that is the consensus among the hardcore fans. That's what they want to see, and it looks like we're going to get it. So.
And it happened to Ronda the other night. She got Mike Tyson vibe.
Yeah.
Everybody on Twitter was calling her the female Mike Tyson all of a sudden for 16 seconds. So quick.
Well, I mean... Yeah, and it just comes down to this. We've been saying it's kind of the same theme that we've been on for months on the show, that she's just on another level right now. And I wouldn't even mind seeing her win if there was a little more, if we've seen some more competition there. And I just don't see anyone but Cyborg that's capable of giving it to her. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You know, supposedly Kat is... Kat Zarango's feeling better now, and she's going to get back in training. And they saw the UFC did sign Holly Holm, by the way. I just found that out.
Oh,
but I still just I'm still waiting on the Cyborg fight.
Yeah, actually does have a fight lined up too against somebody who hasn't fought Rousey yet. I got that somewhere in the list here. But yeah, it's getting pretty exciting. But you know, the big thing that kind of was overlooked with the Rousey fight is the way that her hand looked after that fight. I'm reading a lot about Rousey having trouble because apparently she must be hitting the bag with bare hands a lot, the cup in her hand. Because there was even a shot in the movie Invincibles that went out on the MMA site, and her not look bloody, and not but so she let this get cut open and then never healed. She's still obviously hit in the bag without gloves.
Yeah, I don't understand. I noticed early on in my life that there was that big dichotomy between boxing and traditional arts, where traditional arts didn't go with the gloves. And I look at boxers, they know their hands are their tools. You protect them. It's a very simple equation to me.
Yeah, but it's a good thing she's not a hand model. She's an actual star. I think the best thing about that fight was she was the only Zions in the cage the whole weekend, except for the cutman. And it was on her ass, and we didn't see much of her ass in the fight.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled about that. But there was a quicker win, believe it or not, because Matt Mitrione won the fight before it even started. Unfortunate. They had to cancel the fight. First time I've ever seen that happen. The skyscraper, Stefan Struve, had heart palpitations or something and fainted. Couldn't fight. So, everybody was talking about how quick the Rousey fight was.
That's going to be a tough situation moving forward if Struve can get licensed. What's the guarantee that it won't happen again? I mean, I have to feel bad for him, but if I'm the matchmaker or the promoter, I have to feel bad for the people that got cheated out of the fight through no fault of Struve's. But you got to wonder if his career is over.
Who knows? He's got to prepare himself better. Maybe his wake up for that or something. Who knows? The backstory, we haven't really heard much yet, but the story I just got wind of a few minutes ago. Tony will like this one. Rashad Evans is talking about going to WWE. Interesting. Making the transition from the UFC to the WWE. According to a guy named Duncan. Wrestling. He's been talking about it. I don't know if he's going to have to join Bellator to do it. This is an interesting topic because we had actually mentioned Kat Zingano. She participated in a couple grappling. Or a grappler's class, I guess. Oh, wait. So, obviously, the UFC is not so ironclad anymore on, all these don't compete outside the octagon. They're letting a lot of these fighters do a lot of different stuff to train and public events for the first time, I think, in a long time, if ever. I don't think I ever remember that anybody lost this. So, it'd be interesting if they let Evans go to WWE in the back of the UFC and all that. The same time. Really clarify what his entire leave MMA and go to WWE. Just one of those rumors out there posted as a factual story. It's going to happen. But speaking of Matt Mitrione, he got a fight with Derek Lewis, which was also another guy fought the other night. And looks pretty impressive, especially the NFL lineman got mixed up with Marshall somewhere. And Matt Mitrione was actually an NFL lineman, so there's there it is. Kat Zingano fighting Amanda Nunes at UFC 178. 127. Brazilian Nunes. Over Sheila Gaff, Jermaine Randami. Zingano's 8-0. Nunes' total record is 9-3. And guess how much BJ Penn got paid the other night? Hey, Dave, Frankie Edgar.
Well, I would have to hope it's at least six figures.
I'm going to say 250 views.
No. Frankie Edgar got paid 260.
Mm-hmm. And how about BJ?
He picked at $150,000.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
$150,000. And it was two nights in a row at the Mandalay Bay, which is kind of interesting. And there was no Giants on the mat or the cage. Fox Sports, not the English.
No, let me ask a question here, because you know how I get annoyed from time to time. I, you know, tend to be a little bit outspoken. Was that the main event of the co-feature?
The main event was Frank.
That was the main event.
Japan. Yeah, because it was the Ultimate Fighter finale, so you had a lot of the Ultimate Fighter guys fighting. And they fights around it.
Yeah, and remember, they had just had the bigger card the night before. I think it was kind of idiotic to have it the same week. So that didn't help any either.
The other news we got to talk about, UFC 176 postponed because Aldo could not appear, got an injury. And Joe Rogan had kind of a laugh of the weekend, asking Ronda Rousey if she could step in and do that fight on like 3 weeks' notice.
Well, yeah, first off, and I guess Joe's blaming the feed from the trailer or the truck or, you know, whatever. So that's who Dana was mad at. I mean, they tried to cover it up. But I guess the question would be, if she was willing to step up, who could they possibly put in on 3 weeks' notice that would be a credible opponent?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
But I'm really seriously concerned that Rousey's beating up her knuckles too much, and that's going to hurt her. I mean, if she splits her knuckle open like that, she's got a cyst because it didn't heal. You know, hopefully that shit is easy to take care of with a good doctor, but she really needs to take a break and let her hands heal. She said she's been practicing boxing 6 days a week. I think she should practice is working. She needs to slow the roll.
So you say, Rich, that you've seen that she's working the heavy bag without gloves or hand wraps?
Yeah, I remember reading something where she talked about she likes doing that. She likes beating her knuckles bloody.
Okay, I don't care what she likes. Where's her trainer at? Yeah, thank you, Tony. Thank you. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's not what the fighter wants. You have your trainer. Exactly. I can't believe I'm hearing this. I mean, that was with all the board breaking in traditional arts. Well, you remember what Bruce Lee said, boards don't hit back. And boxers don't waste their time hitting boards and cement because they know their hands are their tools. They've got to protect them. They hit hard. And give them protection. Your hands are out of whack. It's over. I can't believe that anyone would let her do that.
You know what's funny? This is back in 1976, and you know, we're not doing a movie scene where we're punching aside the frozen beef. From that scene in the original Rocky, Sylvester Stallone came out and admitted his hands and his knuckles are still disfigured.
I bet.
Well, yeah, I mean...
And he wasn't even a real boxer. That was a movie.
And those neat things are styrofoam, right?
No, because he really did, when he did the first movie, I read that he really did hit sides of beef, and it permanently disfigured his muscles.
Nice. Awesome.
Well, I mean, all I can say is the champion boxers have followed a protocol, and it had nothing to do with the beef. I mean, it was a great gag for the movie, but it was nothing, you know, nothing to do with reality.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
When I
would train people on boxing and stuff, now I go to the One Fitness Center and I do a lot of cardio work and I'll do some shadow boxing there. And the one woman I work with, she teaches, like, she says it's not a cardio boxing class, but a lot of it is. You know, if they throw them, they throw the hook, all in unison. Then they run around and they, you know, pretend like they're hitting a speed bag and they move their hands around. I only see one or two people in that class that actually have a pair of gloves on when they go up. Now, they're not hitting the bags hard. It's more like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But still, at the same time, you're still making contact, even if it's light.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, that's none of my business. I watch them and I kind of laugh. I've seen other classes where I see people who have to do contact drills, not wear anything. I've told people, anybody that comes into my gym, you are not permitted to strike the bag. Even though I have a water bag, I don't care, without wraps and gloves on. And that was something that I learned day one at Lock Haven when Coach Mike, rest in peace, Coach Mike, came out there and said to you, I will not allow anybody to hit a bag without proper protection, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Because, you know, you take a guy, okay, I know how to, throw some punches, but I know how to take a zip off of it. You know, like a pitcher that knows how to throw a pitch, but then take a lot of steam off of it. You know, same thing with punches. I mean, I will put one up to a bag, and I'll throw some shots, but I'm not really generating a snap on there. I actually got in I wouldn't say an argument, but a guy commented on one of my one of my YouTube videos where I was showing how I take my hands up before a workout, and I use something called hand-wrapped gauze. It feels like gauze, but it's reusable like a hand wrap. I love the stuff. So what I do is it's not as long as traditional fight gauze is, but what I do is I take two rolls per hand, just like they would if they were taping your hands for a professional boxing match. I roll the one roll about 4 inches long, and I layer it and make what they call a knuckle pad. The second one I use, and I go around the wrist, and I go around. I put the knuckle pad on, I go around, I go through the fingers, and I do all that. This guy sends me the message, and I don't know if he was foreign, because you could tell he wasn't writing in cohesive English. He's like, you are not boxer. I'm like, all right, Ivan Drago, go ahead. You do not know how to wrap hands. You don't wrap hands to protect your hand. You wrap hands to inflict pain. Oh, Christ. Ivan Drago and Clover Lang. So Daniel showed a video on like how he wrapped his hands. And I told him, I said, listen. I said, if you came in my gym and wrapped your hands like that, I would throw you the hell out.
Yeah, I don't know why these guys feel that. Why these guys feel they're so smart that they have to invent something new, something that and ignore a method that has been working for 100 years or longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I'm missing something.
I mean, you can improve things. I mean, like when I do my hands, like I used to have just the Mexican hand wraps, and I'll wrap them up, and it was great. But then I started using the gauze. And I did it with a knuckle pad, which gives, in my opinion, more protection on my knuckles. And I like that. I mean, I'm comfortable with that. I wouldn't take a rookie and have them do it like I do, because you really have to know how to wrap a hand. It's what your traditional hand wrap shows, the loops in there, and it's a little bit easier. Where, you know, you're going to get people who are not as experienced that might have trouble with that. Tom, I'll send you the video. I think find it interesting. Maybe that guy's comment is still on there. I'm going to try to delete it because he's an idiot. But, what you said earlier, it's like, it's your tools. That's your money. Like, you think about, like, Floyd Mayweather, who's had some hand issues, and you ask him if he would ever hit a bag or the mitts or anything without his hands properly protected. He'd laugh in your face.
Patrick Walsh, we had a guest on the show the other day. In boxing. The wrestling the other night. Almost got caught at the end, though. He's kind of keeping his hands up like a karate stance instead of boxing. So, I don't know. And he kind of neglected the head movement when he was standing, but his wrestling was so good he won. Actually made it more of a visual night for BJ Penn, because BJ's the only guy to even appear. All right. Poor BJ. And, speaking of that finale card, they had two fights to determine winners of each week for big trophy, which I think is getting labor and labor. I don't know why they can't give these guys some kind of belt or something. See those trophies, Tom? I mean, seen better trophies in this week of that. But Ultimate Fighter winners, Corey Anderson and Eddie Gordon. Both of them won by knockout within a minute and 30 seconds. So everybody was like, where was that on the show?
Yeah, I thought of that myself.
Vicious fights. And it's kind of funny because it's in Vegas, you know, and what do you do if you want a sure bet in roulette? You got to bet on what? Red and black, right?
Right. Well, these fights are always bet on black.
They were all on the red team, so you had to bet on red, and those were the two black guys that won their fights. Side joke there. But Corey Anderson was undefeated, 3-0. He actually kind of had a Rocky type of theme, too. You mentioned Rocky, because he was talking about how, you know, there's, like, screws and nails sticking up out of the floor of his gym, and Matt Van Buren's hanging out with people and, you know, in a fancy gym. So he came in there and wiped him out. And Van Buren
also
said, like, he goes, I'm going to hit him hardest he's ever been hit in his life. And, oops, the other thing happened to you, buddy.
Yeah, Corey's also an Evander Hall of Fame lookalike, you know. I know. I noticed that early on. And he liked it to me, so... We'll see if he can have that kind of success.
He's nicknamed the truck, so that can only be a good thing. As we said, Derek Lewis got a big win. He's 11-2-1. He got a knockout of Guto Inocente at the 3:30 mark in the first round. So Guto's 6-3. We have Dustin Ortiz won a split decision against Justin Scoggins. Ortiz 14-3. Scoggins goes to 9-1. I was on the undercard, and I really enjoyed his defensive style. He goes to 8-1. He kept his hands up perfectly whenever he was in range. And then, you know, only dropped his hands ever when he was out of range of the other guy. Did a real good job of doing that. And got the split decision against Jesse Ront. This guy's 13-5. And then the guy that won all the money... Pulled the one-armed bandit and came up all whatever. jackpot. Leandro Issa, 12-4. These two got fight of the night. There's Juma Bieke Torsion, probably definitely butchering him. Went to 14-3, but he was winning the fight. And then Issa came back and submitted him. Unbelievable. Third round. That's a good performance of the night and fight of the night bonus. He got $100,000 extra. And this was being like, you know, on the undercard. And I was just saying, you know, we need more bonuses for the undercard. So maybe somebody was listening. But that was a tough fight to deny. Also, Adriano Martins, 26-7, knocked out Juan Manuel Puig. Fell to 11-3 at the 221 mark of the first round. Mark the punches. Sarah Morass got a decision over Alexis Dufresne. And Dufresne got paid the least of the night, $6,000. She lost $2,000 for coming in on the week. Actually, I think more than that. Then Robert Drysdale goes to 7-0. He led off the card with a rear naked choke submission of Keith Garris. And, of course, we had the big Saturday event, UFC 175. We talked about Rousey, 16-2 in a demolition. I guess you could think four legs. Your best for now. She went to 16-6. That's a win. And it's about maybe 10 to 12 punches total, I think, in the whole fight with Rousey. Just did a judo takedown, head throw, side swipe, and pummeled. That's what he did. But we also had a big, big main event there. Full decision length. Chris Weidman against Lyoto Machida. And we find out after the fight that Chris Weidman was dealing with injury fight. Still hasn't recovered from his knee surgery. And still won the fight against Machida. And I think the only reason Machida started to do good at the end of the fight was because somebody finally told him he wasn't auditioning for Dancing with the Stars. He was,
yeah.
Hey, dude, you got to score some points or knock them out.
You know, and I think this really helped Weidman's credibility. I mean, not that he needed it in my eyes, because after beating Anderson Silva twice, he, you know, it's the old saying, you've got to beat the man to be the man. And I think this just really added a lot of credibility. I'm so impressed with his fight IQ in addition to everything else. I mean, you can just tell he's thinking all the time in there. He strategizes. He's got great tactics. He's got a great team behind him. And he really has a plan before, and he sticks with it. I'm so impressed with his fight intelligence. So he's going to be a challenge for anyone.
Yeah, he's hopefully going to get some time off, too, just like Rousey will. But this is partially the reason why UFC 176 fell out. You know, you're working a little too hard, UFC. Stop doing so many damn events all around the freaking world every weekend, twice in a row. Two in one day, I mean, that's a little ridiculous, even for my standards. Because I got to watch them. They got to fight them. So, I mean, obviously nobody's fighting two different places on the same day, different cards, but it's pretty crazy what they're doing. And, you know, obviously some fighters are going to have burnout and get injuries in camp. Then you have the added stress of wondering, you know, who's going to get popped for what doing illegal drugs now, performance-enhancing drugs. Speaking of which, I heard of Vitor Belfort wants a shot. Not a shot at Weidman's title, but a shot at testosterone.
Mm.
I saw that on Twitter the other night. This is somebody else's joke. I had to pull Carlos Mencia on that one. Belfort, actually, Weidman was talking about him in a press conference, and he said he's starting to grow a tail. He's a horse. And, you know, that's kind of, it's not really a joke, because if you think about the biggest steroid figure of all time is probably Arnold Schwarzenegger. What did he take? Horse steroids. Anyway, so it was a good weekend for the UFC. Guess we've covered that enough. Maybe the rest of the results for if you want to look them up. But it was a good weekend overall for them. They had a lot of other events in town. I know one of my friends who's in the Air Force was out there at the fights, meeting a lot of folks. He actually said everybody was cool except for guess who? First name is Matt. Matt Hughes, I guess, was a dick.
Wow.
So, apparently he doesn't like crap. Yeah, sorry. We had a World Series of Fighting guy named Dustin Olico got booted out of the organization after a win the other day because of his tattoos that could be deemed offensive and some say have neo-Nazi ties. He's got a pair of iron crosses, which I guess, you know, Third Reich symbol there. And he also had a criminal record. both cited as reason that they separated their ties, cut their ties with him.
There was an interesting thread on that topic on the Underground, because Bernard Hopkins came up in that, you know, that we're starting this again. Oh, my God, MMA's got to be respectable, and we've got to have first-class law-abiding citizens. Well, again, we keep beating the same drum here. I mean, you look at, and I'm using Bernard Hopkins as an example because he's still active and he's still at the top of his game, but you look at how he turned his life around. And I don't mean to just mention him. I mean, we can go through this all over. Well, someone said the difference is boxing's an established sport. MMA's just getting started. Maybe 20 years from now, MMA can afford to be more inclusive. I don't know. I don't buy it. I'm for second chances maybe, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Talking about second chances, too. I forgot to mention Uriah Hall fighting with a broken toe. They were going to stop it. Doctor was ready to say, hey, there's no more fighting. Yeah, I'm good. Like that. Okay. And fought through the whole fight. And I heard on Ultimate Fighter 20, they already had their first fight. It was out of the octagon. Yes, a couple of them have the strawweight women, going to be all women show, and they already had a altercation outside of the cage. Luis Herrig and Clark. Heather Clark. Luis Herrig. They have a lengthy history of ill will. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, well, I guess Ben Askren was heckling poor Johnny Hendricks at UFC 175 the other night, and told him to set up a fight. Told him to ask Dana to set up a fight between the two of them. And obviously, Frankie Edgar. Basically retired BJ Penn, third fight there. Jens Pulver also announced officially that he retired, by the way. Same, pretty much same time frame. Same weekend. You know, he hasn't had a fight in like 2 years. Carlos Newton, season 3 of the Ultimate Fighter. But Miletic, I guess, was all class. He said, I'm very humbled by the way Dana's handled this whole business. There's a time in the sport when people who have been around for a lot of years could tell you the sport had one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta and Dana White have taken this sport. None of us would be there without these guys. I truly appreciate that. And we should thank the Gracie family. They're the ones, the brothers, the brother. And he is actually the 12th UFC Hall inductee, joining Royce Gracie, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, Randy Couture, Mark Coleman, Chuck Liddell, Charles Mask Lewis, Matthews, Tito Ortiz, Horace Griffin, Stephen Bonner, and Tom Padgett.
No, what's that saying? If nominated, I won't run, and if elected, I won't serve. That's a special honor.
Daniel Cormier actually had his last wrestling match of his amateur wrestling career, defeating Chris Pendleton during UFC Fan Expo over the weekend. He's the famous, you know, leaving your shoes on the mat. He said, I started wrestling 25 years ago, he said, through it all, I've gained a lot from this sport. I got to travel the world. I got a college education. I met my heroes. I represented our country. Saturday, I wrestled my very last match. So that's it. So we'll get some boxing news. Believe it or not, Russia. The White Tyson. Not Ronda Rousey. Ruslan Chagayev. Once again, as a world champion under the very same version of the heavyweight championship. Before, I guess. 33-2-1 with 20 knockouts. 35-year-old, he scored a very hard-fought, but not particularly spectacular, majority decision over Frederick Hendo, 37-8 with 24 KOs. Guess who was watching?
I heard it wasn't that tremendously exciting of a fight, but now they're doing something ridiculous called co-champions. Seriously?
Yeah.
The WBA has really got to stop. They got, you know, super champions, champions, you know, in recession, co-champions. It's like, you know, champion, world, you got enough.
Muy importante, champion.
Yeah.
But actually watching this fight, Evander Holyfield in Russia, Zoltan Abramov, Marco Hunt, and Costa Pazu. So, 40-year-old Juan Carlos Gomez got his 55th victory on the undercard. 40th by KO against previously undefeated but vastly untested Bosnian Goran Delic. He got the vacant WBA International Cruiserweight title. So, that was a pretty good fight. And German heavyweight Edmund Gerber, 24-2 with 15 knockouts, made a successful comeback following his most recent one-sided loss to Derek Chisora, and he stopped unheralded Mexican veteran Vicente Sanchez, 13-4, 9 KOs. And guess who missed weight again? Cody Bollinger. Cody Bollinger, former guest of ours way back in the day. Before Blog Talk Radio times, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Cody Bollinger's show. And he doesn't look good when he goes up for the weigh-in. He looks like a skeleton with skin. And got in trouble again for cutting too much weight. Couldn't get the 2 pounds over. First weighed in at 138.4. Didn't even. They did on the Ultimate Fighter. So, maybe he's a great fight. He had a great fight. Did watch the couple fights on there. There was another fight card that was over the weekend. Unbelievable. But Melvin Gallard, also a UFC guy, left the organization. And another issue was big. So, interesting. And then you had the girl on the UFC undercard the other night. Only got $6,000. Lost there. But, also, not mentioned Dennis Hallman. Agreed to a last-minute bump up to middleweight with Fitch at 183 and Hallman at 181, too. realize that until I just read it in my notes. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but iPunch. It's like iPhone, but they had this Indiegogo project, they call it. Calling them the world's first smart combat gloves. They connect to your smartphone by way of Bluetooth, and they tell you how fast and hard that you're punching. So, what do you think?
Well, that's the first I've heard of that. Does sound kind of cool, though.
Interesting stuff. It's, they just put sensors in the gloves, and gives you all kinds of data, tracks your whole workout. It's got a three-axis motion sensor. And it's like, they call it the Guitar Hero of boxing when you connect with an app. And it gives you audible directions. As you improve, the instructions progress too, so it will always be challenging. It's a fun way for new and experienced boxers to work on their skills. But even though there's all this talk about boxing, apparently it's only in an MMA pool right now. But it launched this campaign June 13th. It's raised a few thousand bucks, but they want to make 75 grand. And if you get in early, you can get gloves for $139 plus tax. No, I don't know. And after some drop-dead deadline there, they cost $149. So get them while they last, for Christ. And the guy who came up with this is Stephen Kane, CEO and founder of a startup called Responsive Sports. And he has been practicing boxing, Muay Thai, and mixed martial arts for 16 years. Sensors in the boxing gloves, he said. Just went to the gym. So, check that out. It's called iPunch. iPunch. Little I, big P, punch. And buy some. Hey! Dogs are barking. All right. And we got a big fight this weekend. Big fight card, Tony. Big boxing matches.
We do. We have a very big fight this weekend. Canelo Alvarez and Arisandi Lara. So, I was talking to my dad about this fight last night. And then you got Canelo. He had the loss to Mayweather last year, last September. Came back with a bludgeoning of Alfredo Angulo. And then you got Lara. Lara is a sometimes hard to figure out fighter. He had the fight against Paul the Punisher Williams that everybody thought he won, and he didn't get the decision a couple of years ago. That's the fight that got all three New Jersey judges suspended. Then he had a fight where he took a fighter that gave Canelo some trouble in Austin Trout, and he pretty much dominated him. But it wasn't an exciting fight. It was like they were both trying to outbox each other, and Lara just was, just quick into the punch. And Trout didn't do anything to negate that. Trout had success against Canelo because Canelo is more of an aggressive fighter, giving him some openings. Then you had the fight with Lara and Alfredo Angulo. And while Lara won by stoppage, and Angulo had him down about three or four different times. He hit him some hard shots, and they had him down and hurt pretty good. So Lara showed some good recovery prowess. Now, what we got to look into for this fight here is who imposes their will. An exciting fight favors Canelo. A boring fight favors Lara. Is Canelo going to make the mistakes he did against Mayweather? And the one joke they had online about that was, you're younger, you're bigger, you're stronger. You're fighting a guy that doesn't fight at this weight naturally. You're a natural puncher. So let's try to outbox the best boxer in the world. And he came in with a horrible strategy in the Mayweather fight. Now, is Canelo going to be able to
press Laura? Is he going to be able to keep him off of his game? And if he hits him, I mean, he's certainly got the power to knock Laura down and really hurt him. At the same time, if he tries to outbox him, it's going to be a dreadful fight. It's going to be one that drives fans away. And, you know, he's going to be hard-pressed to win a fight like that. With those two options being said, I envision a very close fight. I see Canelo at times putting a lot of good pressure on and having superior work rate. I see other times with Lara just keeping him at bay. In the end, I think Lara's chin is what's going to let him down. I'm not saying he's going to get knocked down, but I can see that left hook coming over the top of a low right jab and knocking him down. And I see that, you know, being the differential in a close win. And actually, if you read Ring Magazine's preview on the fight, they're thinking the same thing. They're thinking it's going to be close fight, a competitive fight, and then, you know, Canelo with a late knockdown or two. I'm not saying the knockdown might be late. I'm saying I see a knockdown or two in the fight. Maybe something around like, well, fifth round, boom, counter left hook, down goes Lara, flash knockout. Maybe around the seventh or eighth round, boom, counter shot. Maybe a little bit more hurt this time. Gets up. And I think that'll be enough. Maybe something along the lines of like maybe like a 114, 112. Maybe even a split verdict. But the knockdowns, I think, is what's going to win it for Canelo.
Okay, what round is the foul going to be in, Tony?
What round is the foul going to be in? This fight, I don't know if we're going to get it. We don't have Mayweather in there. The guys seem to love the foul.
One time thing. You know, it's when he stole Tom's crystal ball. Anyway. We got some other fights in this one, too. Abner Mares versus Jonathan Oquendo. Juan Manuel Lopez versus Francisco Vargas, and Johan Perez and Mauricio Herrera. Pretty interesting fights. Actually, I've seen Aris Landi Lara in Vegas, too. I'm sure I said that last week, but I've not yet seen Canelo except on TV. So I guess I'm kind of rooting for Aris Landi. I think he has more to gain by beating Alvarez, too. We'll see. Juan Manuel Lopez, he's a former two-division world champion. He said, Puerto Rico's going to school Mexico. Vargas better watch
out. Uh-oh.
Vargas better watch out.
I'll tell you, you know, I was thinking about that last night. They had the late show on Fox Sports. And it was Alfonso Gomez. And I only saw the first few rounds of the clan that had fallen asleep. It came on kind of late. But the one thing I'll say about that play, it was terrible officiating. There was two knockdowns scored against Lopez with zero punches landed. You see that, Tom?
Yes. And you know, and I'd always thought that Kenny Bayless had done a pretty good job for the most part. I mean, I never seen anything quite like last night. It just look at it. I mean, I know. I hate to criticize referees. You got a split second to make a decision, but come on. I mean, there was nothing there. Nothing. I mean, they showed different angles.
You said now with baseball utilizing the replay, you think that may be a consideration for it?
Yeah.
The other question I was going to ask is you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to scoring. You're one of the judges of that fight, and you clearly see. Now, I disagree with Paulie Malignaggi last night. You clearly see that this punch did not land, and it's actually. Mm-hmm. You know what? I agree with what Malignaggi said partially. Malignaggi came out and said that it should be a concussive punch. That you know, when scoring a knockdown. That does the swing for a 10-8 round. He goes, punch like that. He goes, now it's a 10-8 round, but it shouldn't be. Well, who says it has to be? If I was judging that, I wouldn't give that a 10-8 round.
no rule in boxing that says a knockdown automatically deducts a point.
Yeah, that's one of those things, though. It just seems like tradition rules. If there's a knockdown, automatic 10-8. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a knockdown, and then there's a knockdown.
Right.
And there's a huge difference. I mean, that to me, is at best a 10-9 round. At best. I mean, you know, fortunately, it didn't have the effect on the fight that it could have if it would have been a little closer. And fortunately, the right guy won.
Right.
But still, it's just annoying that something like that had to happen in the first place and still even enter into the equation more than perhaps it should have, I think. But, hey, the right guy
Absolutely.
Won. That's bottom line.
Yeah, I know watched the fight time, and it's you're watching the fight. And I go back to the Max Kellerman school of judging. And I don't always agree with what Max says, but it was one theory I agree with. At the end of the in that round. Plan to who would you rather win? And they said, you know, if you're dominating the guy, you're banging him, you're hurting him pretty bad. And then you go down, and it's not a concussive knockdown. I do 10-10, you know? I don't always completely swing in the other direction. And I'll give you an example, Tom. This is before you had, joined us. A couple of years ago, former two-time guest of ours, Steve Cunningham. Steve was cruiserweight champion of the world, and this was his first fight in the Tom and Dynamax. And at the time, we were using a webcam, so we invited our listeners to watch the fight on our show. We were Rich Seven's webcam on his TV, but we were doing the commentary. It was me, Rich, I think that was one of us. We had Patrick McElkill on the show with us, Rich. I think I'm correct on that. And there was Steve Cunningham went down three times in that fight. The third knockdown was concussive. In fact, it reminded me a lot of the knockdown he suffered against Amir Mansour. The first knockdown, like Steve had him up against the ropes, and he hit him with two shots, and out of that came off the ropes and landed a right hand, and actually knocked him in the canvas, spun him down pretty good. Cunningham was winning that round, but that knockdown was, you know, significant enough that to swing it at least 10-9, if not 10-8 in Adamac's favor. The second knockdown, if I remember correctly, Cunningham had him against the ropes, and he hit him with about 6 or 7 flush uppercuts. And I remember saying, I don't know how this guy's standing up, because then these were hard shots. I mean, and his knees buckled a couple times, and then he came off with a counter punch, and it actually it caught Cunningham, and it spun him, and he went down. And popped right back up. And I remember when we were doing the scoring at the end of that fight, and I think I ended up having it a draw. But someone goes, how could you have it a draw? You scored the one round, but out of that 10-8, I said, I didn't. I shaded him in that round 10-9 because he was significantly in the position in that round. So he landed one punch, and it wasn't a punch that, Cunningham went down, but it wasn't like he sprawled out on the canvas, got a wobbling all over the place, and had an axe pounce on. No, it was one singular punch in the end of a round with like 5 seconds to go that Cunningham dominated. If that bell rang 5 seconds earlier, that was a round that he said, okay, easy 10-9 Cunningham, and some judges may have shaded it 10-8 for the shellac he put on.
9-9. What? High rounds. 5-2. Wait. Anyway, before we get our guest, Mr. International, Lincoln Carter. You went to a big fight with yourself out there that you haven't really got a chance to talk about on the show. You posted your articles in the book all day.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But tell us what that's all about. Is this real MMA? Big events? Stuff in Vegas? Authors event, I guess? You met about everybody. Definitely worked the car.
Yeah, and I think and we have a few guys that are very interested in coming on the show. So I'll be giving you some contact information on that in a week or so.
I'm sending a message from somebody from Ring 9 out there. Yeah. One of the organization. Next week. That wide open. Into the great wide open. Definitely get tell us what you can about this event. I mean, I heard even World Peace was involved. Give us the rundown, Tom.
Yeah, you're fading out.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Okay, much better. Okay, could you say it again?
Give us the rundown. I heard there was even a world peace sighting there.
Oh, yeah. We had our share of celebrities there. We had Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, and I'd like to see him get in there. I guess he had little fisticuffs several years back with the fan in the stands, if you guys remember that incident.
Yeah,
I believe. Who was he with? He was with the Pacers, and I think they were in Detroit, or maybe I think was pretty sure they were in Detroit. And he was with the Pacers, if I remember right. But, yeah, that was – because I'll never forget the expression of that fan. As he was coming up there, and the guy's like, oh, man. He was there, and he's I don't think he's with a team now, but he's looking to get, to be picked up in the free agency and see where he goes next year. And all in all, the show came together good. But you know, I was so grateful that we had that promoter on our show probably, well, it goes back, three months, 4 months, I don't know, I lose track of time sometimes, but... You know, it just all these little tiny things that keep going wrong. Like when I got out there Wednesday morning, we had quite a few fighters who were in jeopardy of making weight, and some were pulling out because they couldn't do it. Now, if it were a pro card, we could start talking about the 20% of your purse. But if it's an amateur card, we can't expect a guy to lose 10 pounds in 3 days. So I'm saying if you're dedicated to it and if you're a person of your word and if you want to be a pro, yeah, sure.
Regular human, Tony. Not super human.
But the problem is with some of these guys, it was just sort of a lost cause, and our main event fell apart completely because the guy was initially it was 155 and then they agreed to a catch weight of 160. And then he called the day before I got there and said he was still 170 and just either could not lose the weight or would not lose the weight. So we had to really do some scrambling. And it just seemed like there was just constant little things like that. It just kept popping up. We didn't have the fight program ready. I mean, there were just so much scrambling I had to do at the weigh-in to get just a few more details. And I'm sure that some of the people in the office had to pull an all-nighter to get the stuff ready. But all in all, it came out good. And do either one of you remember Roxanne from the Ultimate Fighter show with the girls? Remember Roxanne?
Yeah.
Well, she was there, and I got to talk to her. I didn't mention her in the story. I guess I should have now looking back on it. But, yeah, she still got that smile plastered on her face. What an attitude she is to go through life so happy. So she said she's kind of between fights, just waiting on her next opportunity. But all in all, things considering it was our first a completely promoted event, we can't complain. I mean, I think we worked out a lot of kinks. I think next time will go smoother. And we're tentatively scheduled to have another one in September. Now, what the long-term plan is to be known as a very fighter-friendly organization and start getting some pros in there and work on the pay scale and make it far more equitable to the fighters than what the big organization is. Because the boss really has plans on going as far as he can with this. Now, I don't know where we'll end up, but I'm sure along for the ride. And, you know, like we were saying that, you know how it is in boxing, say with Floyd Mayweather, I mean, he's an exceptional case, but if the UFC takes in $70 million, maybe the fighters will get $5 million of it. Maybe. And that just goes to the top guys. Whereas on a Mayweather card, he'll get $50 million or $40 million, and the promoters may get $3 million. Now, it'll never quite be like that, maybe, but it definitely should be a more equitable split, and so that's what we'd like to see going forward. But it's going to take time to keep everything established with the State Athletic Commission and, you know, just getting more known. But that's the long-term plan. So we're going to try to have as many cards as we can and just take it from there. So
awesome. Tell us what's in this. What's so magical about this real water stuff?
You gotta drink it so you can see and feel the difference. Well, it's treated and it supposedly can penetrate the cells and hydrate you, get you hydrated at a very deep level. So it can work a little better than, as we say, the stuff that comes out of the tap water. Now, I will say that Freddie Roach has a couple of his fighters that used it. And I remember Brent had called me once, and there was a show on HBO, a fight show, where one of Freddie's fighters was drinking it between rounds, and you could see the real water there. So I'm trying to get Brent's operation officer to set up something where I could go out and get an interview with Freddie on that, which would help the product. And it would just be cool to just sit there for as long as I could corral him and just go through everything. So, you know, just how he trains, you know, how he trains these guys. I mean, Freddie Roach is royalty. So so we've got a lot of plans.
And then you can ask him how it does for his Parkinson's.
Yeah, you know? and the water is, it's in a lot of stores there, so he has plans on getting that going too. And I think that with the show, took a bit of a bath on that, but a lot of hits on the webpage, and sales went up quite a bit for it, so we'll keep it going. So and I said to him, it was kind of funny. I said, okay, when's it coming back to Ohio? And he says, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? You're the CEO of this operation. What do you mean you don't know? Now, they do have an East Coast branch in Tennessee, so it's making its way back more. So I told him, I said, well, you need it in Ohio, Philadelphia, and New Hampshire immediately. So I said, write that down. That's top priority, okay?
So. Yes, sir. Well, that's cool. You know, I believe in that stuff, too, that ionized water. I actually saw it out in Vegas when I was out there.
And, yeah.
And I started, and they were doing some promotion with Tough Enough for a little while, I think. I had heard for years that there was no way to bottle it, and then they came up with a way to bottle it, ionized water. And it's good for you. It actually, I'll tell you, it makes coffee and juices out of the can taste so much better. Unbelievably, yeah. Than regular water. And it gets so much of the toxins out of it.
And also he's trying to get a long-term deal with the Silverton Casino. So the wheels are in motion, and we just got to keep it going. And I will say that I've met a lot of good guys out there just starting their career. But I'm telling you, I hope I can get a copy of the DVD and get it to you guys because there were some action fights there that put the pros to shame. I mean, these guys were just going at it. And, you know, we've seen the same thing sometimes in boxing. It's some of the smaller cards, you got these guys just going in and just throwing caution to the wind. And just, you know, they're not even thinking about, you know, I got to protect my record or anything. They're just going. And every one of those guys really gave it. I mean, it was a good rejuvenation thing for me, too, because, you know, we'd had so many bad decisions and, you know, snooze fests and promotional issues and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd question myself, but, you know, there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But then with these guys just starting off in their career, boy, there's that optimism and that enthusiasm. So, and a lot of them, in fact, there's even a with one of the fighters, Cade Marzola. Well, his brother Kenny is a professional MMA fighter, so we could try to get the two of them on too. So I just told him, I says, well, I want to get the story out, so I'll be sending it out more tomorrow, and then I'll be contacting him over the weekend and put him in touch, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, the good news is Chael Sonnen is not drinking it tonight.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There's no PEDs in it. I have to give a call out to Shoney Carter here, Mr. International. I know Sure Dog's got to be wrong with the record this length, but show up.
Nice. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Carter. Mr. International,
yeah.
Right?
This who?
Mr. International, right?
Yeah.
All right. This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron here. We're also on the line with Tony the Twitty the Pedical.
Okay, hold up. It's loud here. Hold up. I'm in a loud gym. Run to the front. Run outside. It's quiet outside. Okay, go ahead.
This is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron here with Fight Unlimited.
Okay, what's going on?
Just wanted to ask you questions about your career here. I was just saying your record on Shark Dog is probably wrong.
Way off. Way the hell off. I get about 200 fights in a toolbox on a VHS and DVD.
Yeah.
Those fuckers, and what it was that they would, I don't have the whole fight card, I have my fight.
Right. Yeah, I hear that from everybody, but unfortunately, that was one thing that MMA has never really done that great.
Yeah, it's crazy, because while I'm sitting here talking with you, what's going on? How are you feeling? Hello?
Yeah. No, I thought you were
somebody more. No, I'm going to look something up for you. Every time I do an interview, I laugh because when somebody talks about my fight record, and it makes me think of something. I hate reading the news because I'm not the journalist this week. Let's see.
But tell us a little bit about some of your best moments in school.
Tell you more?
Yeah. Give us your kind of rundown of what best fights.
Well, let's see. I was in the movie Divergent, and I'm getting ready to do the doggone thing with, I've been cast in a movie called Star Trek Equinox. I don't know if you heard of it. Not that I know of. Let's see. I just got back from the French Riviera. How about that? Yeah, I do weird, crazy stuff all the time.
Live like a jet setter, Stoney. Yeah.
I can't help it, man. People get stuck in acting tough all the time. I'm trying to do something crazy. Different. Limited edition, I should say.
And how many fighting organizations do you think you fought for?
Oh, my God. That's a damn good one. I just looked me up. I'm trying to figure all this out. I was in Extreme Challenge 3. Chicago Challenge, Combat Fighting. Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking at Super Brawl. Pancrase, Shooto, UFC, Reality Submission Fighting, Pancrase Shooto, Shidokan, King of the Cage, WEC. Let's see. WEC, WFC, WEF, Cage Wars in Ireland, M1 in Russia, PKO California, IFC Israel, Poland. Oh my God, really? I've done that many. I've done a lot of foreign altercations.
Passport, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on my fifth passport. How about that?
And almost every letter in the alphabet, Shoney. Wow, that's
pretty
amazing.
Much. I'm trying to get to Africa, so if anybody's listening, I saw that EFC in Africa, and I know people trying to retire way before me, but feel free. They can retire. It gives me an opportunity to go somewhere else strange.
There you go.
You know, I'm trying to get – also, I'm trying to get Chael Sonnen's job.
Chael Sonnen's job. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to take his job, trying to be his replacement.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I'm trying to do.
That's even better than helping him get a job.
Yeah, I'm trying to do something strange.
Yeah.
Climbing pyramids, you know, that sort of stuff.
I tell you, I mean, you were a character whenever you appeared in an event that they televised. I joked with our co-host, Tony. He's got an alter ego. He's the Philly super fan.
That's right. So if you ever watch a Phillies game on TV, and God knows why he wants you right now because they're terrible, and you see a guy wandering around the stadium looking like Apollo Creed, that's me.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh.
But who was the toughest guy you ever faced?
I've had a bunch of rough ones. Oh, my God. There was George Oliveira, Dave Monet. Damn, that's rough because there was Kumiya Kuniyoku. I'm not even counting Matt Terry. That was a grappling match with a spinning back fist included. Extra no charge. Let's see. A tough one. I fought Jorge Oliveira in the WEC when I fought at 205. Dave Monet, both fights. I've had a whole bunch of them. Ooh-wee. I can't even... That's my top three. How about that?
That's pretty good.
And then after this, I'm going to find another fight somewhere.
How about Pat Miletic?
What was that fight? You know what's funny is that that was one of the fights that the first fight at least, it was not my hardest one. It was a coming out party. I mean, that was, the second fight, I still say he stopped it way too early. I mean, but, you know, Yamazaki stopped it, whatever. I ain't tripping too much.
And you were in some UFC events spaced quite a bit apart. What was that like, getting involved at such an early stage and then being able to come back later in your career?
You know, it was actually pretty cool. But, you know, they didn't quite get the idea of what was going on with me because I'm that type of dude that just figured I could just go and make a living and compete and train and compete and enjoy the whole journey, not just the destination of getting to the UFC, but enjoying my time in the UFC. I really did, you know, and it was just crazy that they took them forever to get me to come back. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And maybe I can make a comeback because I can this time be a doggone announcer, a color commentator, you know, something crazy like that. I always enjoy the journey of it all. I mean, all the organizations I fought for, it was like a coming out party to the roughest situation, and literally they would bring me in to fight to bring me as a like a journeyman or somebody who would be put on a resume, and all of a sudden, holy shit, he actually won. He took my belt. I didn't mean to give Shoney my belt.
Right.
And then so I got a whole bunch of them, and I laughed about it.
Yeah.
And in the state, I've won 14 organizational world titles. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
A hell of a resume.
Yeah, I know. And then the fights that y'all don't know about, that's what's even crazier. I got to pay the last $245 for the footage that y'all don't and nobody has. And that's crazy because I got fights on VHS, VHS-C.
Yeah. Not many people can see that these days.
How many fights I think I did?
Well, according to Sherdog, they have you at 88 fights.
No way. Way more than that.
50 wins, 30 losses, 7 draws, and 1 no contest.
I don't know. It's more than that because I got fights that are on VHS that are there. That aren't there, and y'all, it will blow your mind. Like, I got a fight. I was just watching this. I had a throwback Thursday, but it was actually last night. It was a way back Wednesday, and I was watching a fight, a VHS tape of me fighting 6 guys at once.
Wow.
And it's crazy. It is insane.
The team MMA?
No. This is me versus 6 guys.
Oh, like Bruce Lee style.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I was like, I swear I did you that. And I giggle about it because it was just something to do that day. It was a Tuesday, and late at night, and I was bored and went to the club and ended up fighting, 6 guys at once. How about that?
Shoney, in your long career, you've probably seen a lot of different things. And the only time I was able to see you fight live was going back to the King of the Cage in Indiana. We're talking November 2004,
wow.
And you fought Buddy Clinton, okay? And I'm sure you remember that.
Oh, my God. You have the footage? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for it because I fought John Crunk the same week. I do remember that fight because he just got his black belt for his great
right, and see, I was those were the days. $35, and I'm right there beside the cage. I was training at the time with a strong style fight team, and so I was down there to cheer on Forrest Pettz and Jeff Cox, a couple of my friends. But I remember observing you that night with Buddy Clinton. Now you were in there with a very dangerous submission guy, and yet you were just so relaxed. He just couldn't make anything work on you. I mean, he was trying everything he could, and you were just Joe Cool. It was like another day at the job there, and you won the fight. And then later they came on and said, well, there was confusion about the length. What was the ruling on that? I mean, I know what the ruling was, but how did they come out with that? What was the deal on that?
I could not figure it out until later. I figured out that because he was a Hoyce Gracie black belt,
mm-hmm.
They did not want him to have a loss to me. So I was like, how do you go from me winning to a no contest on the confusion on the amount of rounds when I came there to fight, I did my job and fight, and they was like, wait a minute, what you mean he won?
Shoney, you won that fight. I was there, okay?
I know.
I'm looking
for the footage. I want the footage to that fight because people still to this day don't believe I fought him. I'm like, I did fight him, and I kicked his ass.
Yes, no, I was there. So So I don't know if any of my former teammates, Forrester, Jeff, has that, but I'm still in touch with them on occasion. So I'll run it by them and see if anyone has anything for the night there. I'd be happy to get it to you if I can find it. Yeah, that was –
oh, my
that was,
God. I'm so glad we rapping. I'm glad you called me because I was telling you I fought a Hoyce Gracie black belt, and I whooped his ass.
Yes.
And even when
sure.
I'm so glad to be talking to you. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't nothing against Hoyce or nothing. It was hilarious.
But like, right. I mean, the whole thing was, I know, like you were saying, everybody says, well, we'll get a win on – I'm not knocking him either, you know, but I mean, you know, fair is fair. I have to call what I see. And he sure did everything he could. But your defense that night, I mean, your cardio was great. Your defense was great. You were just so relaxed. I mean, it just – and I got to talk to you afterwards. I believe you had a yellow suit on. How's that for a memory, huh?
Yes. You remember.
I have a weird memory. But, yeah, I got to talk to you because I had your instructional tape on, you know, a lot of your throws and then the submissions after the throw. So we talked about some of that stuff then. But, yeah, that was a great effort on your part, and it's just a shame you didn't get the W for sure. And I imagine as long as you've been around, you probably have a lot more stories about stuff like that.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was crazy. Because like I said, people see me fight, they're like, how are you so relaxed? Like when I'm teaching, everybody's like, dude, how are you getting out of that red naked choke? I'm like, if I go to sleep or he wakes me up or I get out. Mm-hmm. What it is that even my instructor, he's an eighth Don, and he's been doing this for 50 years. And even him, they were like, when I first got here, they were like, you're who? You did what? And it's hard to say that and make you believe it because it sounds so far-fetched that, yeah, I'm from the streets of Chicago off the west side, and I said, yeah, I know jujitsu and judo and Japanese. And then I laugh about it because when I see, and I give Ronda Jean Rousey credit for throwing Koshi Garoma slash mixed with a Harai Goshi. I've been teaching that stuff for years, and people looking like I'm sideways silly. I'm like, dude, I taught y'all that like years ago. And at this other school where I teach at, I swear to goodness, there's a lady who I teach at her school, and she got like 8 voicemail messages. Anybody that teaches judo? And I'm like, are you kidding me? She's like, Shoni, and this is the business owner. She's like, Shoni, you know judo? I'm like, yeah, I got a black belt in judo from Japan. And everybody's like, you do? I'm like, and these are business owners. I'm like, yeah, duh.
And I mean, she showed it, Rousey, for sure. Judo is very important. That guy who used to use a lot of judo and kind of got washed up with the pills and everything was Carl Parisian back in his day.
Right. And, you know, it's crazy, even before Carl came on the scene, because we fought, and it was literally, he beat me by decision, and I knew what he was doing. He was a better judoka player than me that day. He fought me for the WEC belt, and he won. And then people were talking about how good his judo was. I'm like, ah, whatever, we'll test it out. And we laughed about it, the whole thing. I mean, I thoroughly laughed because now I'm offering judo seminars to any, especially the women of MMA. Because I mean, I think Ronda, I'm not knocking Ronda. Hell, I got a number from her. I'm always trying to hit on her every time I see her. I mean, I respect her as an athlete. Don't get me wrong.
Keep your hands up.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I even joked with her about doing judo together with her. And she looked at me, I'm like, hey, baby, yeah, I was doing this when you were still young in the womb, but we cool.
Yeah, so
rep the set.
Just doesn't seem like the type of person.
Wait, what now?
He doesn't seem like the type of person that has a lot of patience with people sometimes,
Oh, you have to. You've got to have patience with people. Because if you don't, you find yourself choking the shit out of them. I tell a lot of humans, you know, you only here on Earth still because I'm patient. I'm measuring your breath. Use them wisely.
Now, what was the What is the one thing that you love the most about fighting?
I get all the frequent flyer miles in the world. I don't even use frequent flyer miles. I'm trying to go every damn well, experience the great journey of enjoying training ever so often, competing, and trying to get, you know, my bucket list filled. Because it's cool as hell to say I do all this fighting stuff. I don't even remember when people put belts around my waist. I do remember the moment it took, every little stinky, sweaty, horrible moment that I took trying to get to that moment. And getting to see the world, train with some of the best athletes in the world, and then people know my name, remember my faces. I'm the guy who used traditional karate and MMA, and I'll kick their ass, they get slick with it, and just have fun. That's the whole thing, is having fun. I don't take myself so serious. I just enjoy it. It is fun. That's what I really enjoy about MMA. I didn't go into MMA to become famous. I got into MMA just because somebody dared me when I was in college. I'm a U.S. Marine, and one thing, if you don't know people, quit daring me. Don't dare me to do a damn thing. The chances are I'm going to do it, and if you doubt me, I'm going to do it. And I told my friends years ago I would climb a damn pyramid, and they were like, yeah, right. Well, if you look on my Facebook page, not only did I climb a pyramid, I did it while wearing a kilt.
Oh, my God. Over the top.
They saw my page. You don't laugh your ass off. You see me selling a pyramid of Giza and a kilt. It's just what I do. I enjoy the journey. That's all this MMA stuff is, in that big-ass journey.
Now that you mention all this travel, you know, it sounds like you've seen about as much territory as James Bond, if not more. I'm trying to
replace him, too. I'm trying to get Dana White to give me a job to replace Chael Sonnen. I'm going to call England and say I'm willing to be MI6 00009.
What's the favorite place of all time? What's the best place on the face of the earth that you've been to so far?
It's going
to
sound crazy. I have two of them, one of which I've not been there yet. Of course, it's Brazil, but the other one was St. Petersburg, Russia. I really enjoy St. Petersburg, Russia, and I won't lie, even though I'm about to get fired for my boy-friendly responsibility, but those damn women over there, good God. I was like, y'all just going to let these women walk around like this, scantily clad, look that sexy, and it's quite all right.
There are different.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Oh, exactly.
Now, Louisiana, ooh wee, good grief. Man, oh man, don't get me started. I've got a few hot spots that people don't know about. If more guys knew what I knew about world travel,
right. They
would be gone. It would be a lot of damn lonely-ass American women mad at me
for
letting out the secret.
How about Mr. International's Guide to World Travel?
You know what? I really wish somebody was going to let me do their damn the travel show.
Yeah.
I think I do a lot more better of a job than some of these guys who talk so politically correct. If you want to hear what's really going on, I'm going to tell you. But I understand we have something called the FCC. So I will behave. I promise.
We actually swear on the show all the time.
Oh, yeah, I swear all the time.
It's internet-based, so I think we have the freedom to go off and respect.
Oh, I know. That's why I love internet interviews. I do.
That's what built MMA. I mean, a lot of these fighters are just so accessible.
Yeah, we just let it hang. I just tell them, I'm like, I'm not that tough. I just happen to know what I'm doing really well.
Like, obviously, he gets all the exclusives, and he never writes a bad thing about the UFC. I mean, And there's no other sport where you can get that close to fighters.
Yeah, our sport is so unique. I laugh about it because, you know what it is, we were those misfits. We were the guys who weren't cool in high school. You know that, right?
Yeah.
We were those guys who the girls didn't quite really want to jive with, you know, and now they know our name. And all those preppy jocks who once was like a Mr. Hot Shit, Mr. Hot Potato on campus, now they live vicariously through what we do. And then even the other athletes. I'm not knocking all of the athletes, you know, like those football players, basketball players, and who have a sport that's called unnecessary roughness, technical fouls, or they play to get home safe, and they get three chances to do their job and make a bunch of money to do it. But all I'm saying is if we were 33% good at what we do, that's a brief career. If you get four chances for one dude to throw a damn football down the field wearing protective gear and somebody screams unnecessary roughness, well, I'm just saying. Unnecessary roughness is highly advocated in our area of endeavor. And if you ever in an MMA training and you tell coach, oh, my finger hurts, he's going to laugh at you. You know, you got to sit out because you got a pulled hamstring or some other tomfoolery, some chicanery,
right.
Subterfuge, by prestidigitation. That's my favorite word.
All right. Well,
I'm going to remember some of these quotes. This is great stuff, Sean.
Let's go with
great
these quotes.
Great stuff.
You know what it is? I have a higher degree of vernacular capacity, whereas most fighters concentrate on being tough. They do reps. I do time. And I spend time trying to perfect my art.
All right.
You know. And sometimes my practice is prestidigitation.
Tell us a little bit about that, working with students, you know, passing on your knowledge and what's that been like for you.
One more time.
Talk about a little bit, you know, about working with kids and students and stuff and passing on your knowledge to the next.
Oh, I love working with the kids now. You know what it is? I get so bubbly, giggly when I'm working with kids. You can show somebody something and it can change their life.
Okay.
Because it's like, they're like, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. I'm like, yeah, you can do it. You know, I tell them, don't just have dreams, have plans, and the kids, like, respond to it. And it's crazy that these kids are like sponges and they're thirsty, because what bugs me the most, what absolutely raises my dander, if you will, is when I hear all these kids who are getting shot and being locked up. And I'm like, if somebody had just took just a small amount of time, and I mean a small amount of time, just to give them a hug and say, hey, it's going to be all right. I'm not saying it's the absolute cure, but it could have made just one difference in a moment in their life that could have easily thwarted a decision that they made that could have, you know, could have caused their demise. And that's why every time I'm in Chicago and I hear the news about someone getting shot, killed, and I'm like, fact. Because I really wish I could have been in there in that moment to say, no, don't hang out with him. Come hang out with me, the tough nerd who's on TV. And it's crazy because we all have seen it. We all have seen the stories and heard it. And we know those people because we had them in college. We had them in high school. We had them in elementary school. And my goal is to help as many of these kids. But I'm a dad as well. And it's just my goal to try to help as many of these kids as possible in any way that I can, shape or form. Because there's something that's not just called bigger things, bigger plans. I mean, I'm from West Side Chicago, and I've traveled the world and have spent four passports on somebody else who died.
That's right.
And, you know, isn't that crazy? I can't dunk a basketball. I can dunk a donut. I'm really good at that.
All right. Looking back, what would you say was your best moment in the whole sport so far? I mean, I know you're not technically gun day.
Oh, wow, yeah. One of my best moments. That is a question to perplex the masses. Let me think of the. Well, it wasn't directly MMA. I was fighting the Shidokan, and let me explain how this works. Okay, I fought in the UFC 22, I believe it was, when I fought Brad Gumm.
Right. 26, I think.
26. Was that my first one? Sometimes I have those moments. So my instructor, he's like I said, he's an eighth Don, and he had me promise to come fly out and fight in the Shidokan. Well, my UFC debut was the day before. So literally after fighting in the Shidokan, the UFC the night before, then that morning I foregone the post party, picked up my check, went to the airport, and flew down to the jail. I was putting on my gi, coming out of my suit, and I fought in the Shidokan Team USA. So it was basically the next night, but the next morning. And I fought in the Shidokan 4 hours later. And here's the thing. I lost in the finals.
So
I lost in the...
Those two tournaments, back-to-back, basically?
Basically. And literally that week, the week leading into it, I did a jiu-jitsu tournament, and I got my elbow popped out because I don't believe in tapping out too much. And that's when I fought Adrian Serrano, by the way. And literally, I wore a football sling to protect my arm during the fight in case he picked up the idea that I was injured. I won that fight, but then right after yeah, I did a grappling tournament to UFC, then I did underground fights, and I literally went back home. You know, before that, they had underground fights in Miami. That's what it was. We were walking down the boardwalk, and I tried to let them have me fight in this underground nightclub fight, and my instructor wouldn't let me.
Trying to take it one step further.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, that was just one of the moments that, you know, I really enjoy in competing is just doing the damn thing and being able to say, hey, catch up. When people see me in the gym, they're playing Bejeweled like I am right now. And people say, well, why are you always playing Bejeweled? I say, hey, don't worry about it. Go catch up. They're like, what? Go catch up. I already got the damn Hall of Fame inductions and those three black belts. I think I've earned my right to be a jabroni in the gym. So I played Bejeweled and I work out a little bit and just do stuff. Oh, speaking of stuff, I know what you want to know. I'm running with the Bulls Saturday, July 12th.
Oh, my God. You better
get that. And I've been trying to get somebody to get me a GoPro cam. So I can videotape it and post it up on the internet so I can actually see that I climb pyramids and I chase bulls.
Those are the best YouTube videos, but usually you only make it to YouTube if you get hit by the bull. So hopefully you're not on any of those highlight reels. Yeah, that's an amazing event that they allow that in public.
In public, no doubt. And then they're going to see me out there in some red Speedos.
But that's the perfect thing for a fighter to be involved in, you know, because you know how to field yourself from a punch. And, you know, if you're not forbidden, that thing gets coming after you.
Oh, nearly. Like back in the day, I guess, well, I was, and I hate that I'm no longer afraid of a fight. But I'm actually glad I'm scared now because I could die or get a horn up the ass. If you go over the crack of your bed, son, are you horny yet? I'm like, all the time, baby, all the time.
Now,
but yeah, I'm doing it this weekend, yeah.
Who are the fighters that you watch today? If you still watch MMA?
I watch old dance Clay Guida, Jose Aldo, young, sexy, crazy, fast dad. I like that freak show who needs to open, he needs to pay up his ties and dudes, John Jones. But I know damn well he's copying my playbook, and nobody wanna acknowledge it. Johnny, when I see you again in Vegas, tuck and roll, sucker, tuck and roll if you ain't got my money. You're gonna move to me. Tuck and roll.
John Jones, I think, gets a lot of credit for just doing all the things together. And everybody trains, you know. Nobody mixes it all together, but I think it's better than him.
That's because people, you know what it is, people don't listen to me. I'm not that UFC dude in the UFC no more, but I didn't forget how to fight.
Right.
And I tell people, if you happen to want to learn, I just Ronda Rousey. I said, if you want to learn what they're doing, call me. And I can show you that old hot magic. Because Sun Tzu said it. It is wise to know yourself. It is better to know your enemy as well as you know yourself. Well, if you do not know your enemy, be afraid because he will vanquish you in combat. So therefore, run. And I'm just like, hey, look. I know all the Rod Goshi, Tsubame Gaeshi, Tai Toshi, Koshi Garoma. Do I need to keep going? See what I'm saying?
You have to have every fighting style to kind of do something different. Because I think what a lot of guys get trapped into is the same old stuff now.
Martial arts, you don't get beat by somebody who does martial arts. And don't people tend to keep getting beat by guys who do martial arts? Did it really take Steven Seagal to show somebody to do a snap kick to the mouth to make you believe that shit works?
Yeah. I
laughed at that.
I used to.
That's the first kick you learn in any striking martial art.
I used to fight a lot on the street as a young kid. And they used to always say in my neighborhood, you know, if you kick somebody, that's a girly move. Then I ended up getting in a fight in my front yard, the first fight my dad ever saw me fight from his window in the house. And it was like a 3-hour fight in the front yard with this kid. And he ended up using all his karate moves on me. And he wouldn't let me forget it. Like 3 weeks later, he would say, I still got my shoe mark on your forehead. And so I never lived it down.
Yeah, and that's why I laugh at that stuff. I do. And I tell people, I remember one dude, Sam Hoger, when he fought Lyoto, they asked me to help him. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to call me before the night before the fight. Because that shit works. Karate works.
I've been bugging out about, I wrote a big article about, is the lack of defense today in mixed martial arts. I cannot believe these guys come from top camps, go out there in a co-main event or even city card, or maybe fight on the main event, on the main card, and they go out there and their hands are down by their waist.
You know what it is? I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. And this is me talking 100% real. There are a lot of guys who are, and women who are in MMA, various organizations. And the only reason why they're on TV is because they're young and tough. That is it. Technically suck. And I'm not calling out any particular organization because I don't want anybody to get all mad at me for talking about their organizational fighters. But if you cannot keep your hands up as a job, as a what you call a profession, why the hell are you even in there?
Right, yeah. And then, you know, what makes it worse sometimes, really pisses me off, is the announcers.
Oh, my God.
They'll kick in and be like, oh, this is such a great fight where the guy is getting his ass kicked because he can't keep his hands up. And, you know, some of these people are fighters, you know?
I know. I'm like, dude, so I'm going to tell you my pet peeve is when it comes to announcers. When they call the damn wrong name of a move, I'm like, don't rename it. Just learn it. Just say it correctly. Repeat after me. Harai Goshi. I am thoroughly, like, I cannot believe y'all are still messed up his throat. That's a hip toss. Which one?
Yeah, there is a lot to know. I think Joe Rogan's pretty good at it, you know. But
he's gotten a lot better. And I wasn't talking about Joe. I mean, Joe is cool as shit. He's almost as funny as me. Almost, I say, almost. He got a podcast. Everybody's afraid of me. That's the only reason why he got a podcast. I'm not on podcasts. You know, even the internet can be scared of me sometimes. But I like him though. But I've seen some organizational people say stuff, and I'm like, "What? That was actually a foot technique. It wasn't the hip toss."
What can you say about how the sport has evolved since you got started in it? I mean, you've seen.
Oh, it's crazy cool, but crazy crazy as well, because there are things in the business that I don't like. But, you know, I mean, there are things like the basic fundamentals of mutual respect towards the gladiators that some of the athletes don't have, and realizing that what you are is what people made of it before you came along with your cute little scribble scrabble T-shirts and baseball hats you get paid way too much money to wear. And then there's no homage to be paid to the guys who built the sport, because I feel that people that were in the sport before were sexy, cool, and sponsored to be acknowledged, whether it's a couple free tickets or even a MMA Hall of Fame. That's why I was even posting something about that on my Facebook page, because I know guys like Travis Fulton and Dan Severn and Ken and Frank and Pat and Carlos Newton and, you know, these guys who were in the business before it was a business. When a promoter wanted you to fight, he'd call you and you show up, shake his hand after your fight, and he'd give you your paycheck. And you walk out the door, see you next time. All right, call me when you're ready.
Somebody ought to write a book about Travis Fulton.
Dude, that was, yeah. He's recommending me look like a damn boot camp rookie.
He's got like a boxing match every week at least on his plate.
Oh, my God. Did you see what his MMA record is?
Yeah.
I still think about it.
Unbelievable. He's still going. Like,
yeah. I think he is. Enough, I know he is.
I've seen him on boxing cards within the last few weeks. I know that.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, he's definitely still boxing. I don't know about MMA, but he takes fights off. And
wow.
What do you see is your ultimate goal now?
I'm doing. Stillman and Justin McCown fought in the cage at the highest level. I come up with these.
All right, we're back.
We're back. We are live.
I don't know how long we are out there. Only a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm still doing stuff. You know, I mean, I'll never retire from being a martial artist. That's one thing.
Right.
And Eliza said, "Why don't you retire?" I'm like, "What? You think I'm old? Come catch up with me."
That's the spirit.
I tell them, "Hey, I'm going to run with the Bulls. Why don't you come with me?" I've asked these other friends of mine who are personal trainers in the health club, and they're like, "Man, you crazy." No, I'm older than you.
That would be something that if I had the opportunity to do, I would love to do, because I'm really good with animals and bulls. I mean, obviously, bullfighters go to school and everything, and they learn the trade, and they get it passed down from generation to generation.
Yes, they do.
Big horses with horns. So if you know how to deal with animals, you know, as long as you don't get caught against a brick wall, you can pretty much.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Remember, don't forget, I'm a young athletic. Well, not young. I'm athletic and black. And I don't get pinned up against nothing. I'm from the hood. If the police ain't called me yet, and I work for the police.
I'll tell you, when I was a little kid, probably like 4 or 5 years old, I went up to my father's, his father's farm, grandfather. And my sisters dared me to talk about deers, right?
Uh-huh.
jump on the horse. They had like a thoroughbred in the pen next to the little pony that all the kids ride. And they dared me to go jump on the thoroughbred.
Right.
I jumped on the thing, put my arms around its neck, and it took right off running out of the pen across the field.
Wow.
Jump off of the thing to get off of it, because he wasn't slowing down.
No.
I mean, at least it was a horse that people rode, but...
Right, but this is a different animal. It's a different thing. Yeah, fights are fights. Like, when you start dealing with animals, you know, you got to realize that we are punk bitches in nature, because in charge, we got guns.
Mm-hmm. Animals are interesting.
It's the only reason why we're in charge.
Anyway, is there any place people can find you online? Obviously, you got Twitter and all that. I know you got like.
Yeah, I just opened up an Instagram as well. How about that? I'm catching up to see people with advances in social media and communications. You're going to see me soon in Germany,
yeah.
Fighting in Germany, doing a Thai boxing match in Thailand.
Awesome.
And then doing another fight in Canada with Matt Dwyer. Got a UFC contract for kicking me in the nuts. Motherfucker. I lost 50 pounds in 2.5 months to do that fight. They gave him a contract because he beat me. If I'd have beat him, they'd have pat me on the fucking back.
What a punk.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, nobody gets kicked in the nuts by accident. You kick somebody in the nuts in a fight, you meant to do it.
You see the guy who punched himself in the head the other night on Friday Night Fights?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? Another jabroni situation.
Well, I swear to God, I think they have his pulse, too. Yeah.
Wow.
Cut himself in the forehead. Pretty bad. Didn't cut himself, though. That was a good thing.
Well, that's amusing, I must say.
Anyway, Shane, it's been great talking to you, and definitely wish you luck in the future, and I definitely will nominate you to take Chael's position if they plan to fill it.
I second
that nomination.
Hoping so.
That's it. I second the nomination.
I appreciate it. Y'all heard it here live, people. I'm getting nominations.
All right.
Tweet it, fax it, Skype it, shout it. Do what you got to do.
Then
I'm trying to replace him.
Yeah, doing your own commercials for the most interesting guy in the world. Rival that other guy.
Oh, man. That dude asked me for my number.
He learned everything he knows from you, right?
And he's still waiting.
Awesome. Definitely had a great time chatting with you about the way things have gone with the board. And what's your message for the next generation of fighters coming up?
Here's the most valuable information that you're going to ever need. You young generation, listen up. This is so important. Train harder today than you did yesterday. Train harder tomorrow than you did today.
I love it. I'm stealing that from you.
That's perfect timing, Mr. International, right on the spot. Always.
See you in Chicago Fitness Center if you're ever in town.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Shoney.
Thank you.
Right.
It's been a
all
pleasure,
right.
Sir.
Great night. All right, so we got 90 seconds, as Blog Talk Radio's lady said, even though we got overtime as long as Tom stays on. Tom,
yes, sir.
We knocked off of Blog Talk Radio. What was the last thing you heard before we reconnected? Sorry, we called you back by accident. Whoops. So anyway, yeah, 36 seconds left, but we got overtime. What was the last thing you heard, Tom?
Everything was just going, Shoney was trying to answer a question, and then it just got into La La Land.
Slow motion.
Yeah.
It was like slow motion, right?
Yeah, and just,
yeah,
just all kinds of distortion. Yeah.
So we only
just
like a couple minutes, right?
Yeah. But what a fun interview, boy! What a colorful guy, and I'm sure, you know, if we get him back on, I'm sure he's got plenty more stories like that crazy night down there. But How entertaining.
Yeah, there was one other guy we had on the show that had a lot of interesting shit in his life, but nowhere near this guy. I mean, he really rivaled the most interesting man in the world, dude.
Yeah, he is. He's colorful outside of the cage, but like I said, I've seen a lot of pros that are very relaxed, but I've never seen anyone more relaxed than he is. He has that down, and I think that's maybe the secret to his longevity and his conditioning and his cardio, just that relaxation. There didn't seem to be any tension in him at all. That's a true pro.
And I don't think that Mr. International would drink that shitty watered-down beer either.
Yeah.
He'd have better beer. Much better beer than Mr. Interesting. Anyway, I want to welcome Chris Hunterman to the blog, too. Check out his stuff. He's got another article probably coming up by tomorrow morning. Really didn't get a chance to go over any other big boxing matches over the weekend, but I really didn't.
Well, there wasn't any big boxing matches over the weekend. Last weekend was pretty much dead, remember?
No, obviously, last weekend, 4th of July, they don't do boxing, I guess. It just depends on me, but... Right. But what about?
I thought it would have been a great weekend to have a party in Atlantic City. If I was a promoter, I would have tried to have some. Because you would have had people like on the beach, you know, they would have people down at the casinos. And, you know, I know just going down there from time to time, even when I was a kid, and we'd go to my aunt and uncle's, campground in Cape May, which is not that far away. Hey, let's go up to the AC Boardwalk. And we'd go up, and my dad would be like, yo, me and you were sneaking away, we're catching a fight. We're okay, Pop. You know?
What do we got coming up this weekend?
We got the big fight we talked about, the Canelo and the Alessandro Lara fight.
Anything else worth mentioning?
I really didn't get a chance to open boxing. I've been having computer issues all night, so I didn't even really get a chance to look at that.
Well, I'm sure we'll be able to find the results. We'll see them in the news if we missed them this week. But definitely a great show from everybody. And we'll be back next week with a guy from Ring 9. We'll be talking boxing and kind of union issues, I guess. Fighter pay and all that sort of stuff. We didn't really get into with Mr. International because he had too many good fight stories. No politics. But good stuff. So,
well, let's see what we're going to see. We're going to see how the fights turn out this weekend. And
yeah.
I didn't get a chance to write an article because I've been kind of busy this week. But we'll see if I have any success, making my big comeback after my flop with the Sergio Martinez Miguel Cotto fight.
Oh, the Miguel Cotto fight. Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't see that coming.
But I'm supposed to ring, man. I'm supposed to get these things right.
Yes, sir. It was a fluke.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I'm departing your presence tonight.
All right, guys. We will do it up next week.
Overtime is over.
We will, and we'll see if my prediction comes true.
All right,
John. I'm with you all the way on it, so...
And that's all we got. That's all she wrote. Show's over. We're going home. We're all done.
All right, guys. Next week.
Great interview.